as we continue looking through Luke's Gospel, investigating Jesus. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Amen. This is God's word to us this morning. Let's just pause and pray for a moment. Lord, we pray today as we think on some familiar words that you would just continue to inspire our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would remind us of truths of old and teach us things anew. Lord, we pray that you would teach us about you and about your love and your grace and your mercy. We pray that you would remind us of your gift to us this morning. Lord, encourage our hearts in these moments, we ask. Give us ears to listen, minds to process, hearts and will ready to respond. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I read about a young couple whose business had failed and they had little money to spend at Christmas. They were going to have to move out of their home in the new year. But they didn't want that holiday season to be spoiled because of it. So they decided to throw a party. When the guests arrived, they saw a cedar tree decorated with one string of lights and small rolled up pieces of paper tied to the limbs of the tree. "Welcome to our blessing tree," they said. "In spite of hard times, God has blessed us in so many ways, so we decided to dedicate our tree to him," they said, beaming. "Each piece of paper describes a blessing he has given us this year." A couple have faced more trials since then, but they have chosen to stay focused on the Lord. And they often remark to friends that Christmas with the blessing tree was one of the most beautiful, because they could testify, as Mary did here in verse 47 and 49, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for the Mighty One has done great things for me." That couple took their eyes and their thoughts away from their circumstances and their situation and focused their mind and attention on God and who he was and all he had done. And looking on God, they were able to worship and to give thanks. And there's a wonderful reminder in there for us that despite of, and indeed on account of our circumstances, we ought to focus our minds on God, remember what he has done and is doing and indeed will do in our lives, and bring him our praise and our worship. This morning, as we continue through Luke's Gospel, we come across the worship of two women. The lives of these two women has and is changing quite dramatically. for Elizabeth, the older one in years, shocked by her husband's sudden silence. She is coming to terms with God, hearing her prayers and blessing her with a child. For Mary, much younger in years, engaged to be married, she's been visited by an angel and given the news she will be pregnant too. And these two women meet today, and in spite of, and actually more likely because of their circumstances, they bring their praise to God. So let's dive in and see the worship of these two women this morning. The opening section from verses 39 to 45 show us Elizabeth's humble blessing. You'll remember from last week that Mary's miraculous God had gave her a sign that he would do the impossible. Verse 36, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Having heard that encouraging news and also likely getting her mind around her own news of going to be with child and this child being the very Son of God, Mary packs her bags and heads to see Elizabeth to see if this is indeed true. Verse 39, at that time, just as the angel had come and she had heard that news, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. She set out immediately for the home of Elizabeth. It's utterly unexpected. She took off on foot within hours of hearing the message from God in this 80 to 100 mile journey. Remember, it says that Mary's living in Nazareth in Galilee, which is in the north of Israel. Elizabeth stays in the hill country of Judea, somewhere outside Jerusalem. That's in the south of the country. It would take 3 or 4 days to make that journey on foot. Young women in those days would be allowed to go on for some water unaccompanied down by the stream, but they wouldn't be allowed to leave the village on a long journey on their own. This journey is as incredible as if one of you would come to me today and say to me goodbye at the end and walk off down to Gretna over the next 3 or 4 days. Not sure why you'd want to walk to Gretna. Some people might. Eleanor will be heading down that direction, heading home in the next week or two towards Lancaster. But I'm sure she's not going to walk for 4 days. She'll jump on a train and do it. Mary does all of this in order to see for herself this old and beloved relation of hers whom she's been told God is going to have a baby. God told her Elizabeth is pregnant, expecting in her old age. She's going in order to rejoice with her. And as she arrives, she greets Elizabeth. She will very quickly and clearly realize, I guess, at 6 months, that Elizabeth is actually expecting a baby. Now, we have no idea what the greeting was. Greetings in those days weren't our very simple, hello, how are you? And then we keep walking. We were having a little conversation about that the other day, actually, with some friends, how Morag loves to, when she's out shopping, stop and greet somebody and then go on and tell them a whole load of information, whereas I've got the skilled art of, hello, how's it going? Nice to see you. Hello. Mary's greeting to Elizabeth would have been like Morag's greeting. They stop and they talk and they find out what's going on. How do I know that? Well, listen, that's the kind of greeting that went around Israel in those days. If you go back into the Old Testament, when Moses went to visit his father-in-law Jethro in Exodus 18, it says that Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and he bowed down and kissed him, and they asked each other about their welfare, and they went into the tent. And it's likely that Mary and Elizabeth would have taken time to exchange that greeting, to find out what is going on in each other's lives. They would have shared their stories. And can you imagine, by the way, that's maybe just the way my mind works, but can you imagine two women, both excited about what is going on, talking both at the same time and hearing each other what they're saying both at the same time and getting so excited? Or maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just a picture I have of Morag when she meets somebody else and they both start talking at the same time excitedly and somehow seem to understand what each other are saying. I just get confused and lost in the midst of it. But exciting news for Mary. Exciting news for Elizabeth. Both visited by God. Both expecting babies. And just as a little aside, I've been getting quite good at these asides over the last few weeks, haven't I? This is two women, one older, one younger. They get together and they share together. And I think there's a principle there and right throughout the Bible for younger women to be speaking to and learning from older women, to be sharing life together, to be seeking godly counsel from one another. I would call it, actually, if you want a biblical name for it, I'd call it the Titus 2 principle. And you can go and read Titus 2 later on to see why I've said that. Good to be together, to talk together, to learn from each other. Mary will stay with Elizabeth, as we learn in verse 56, for about 3 months. Back to the text that's before us. The greeting is exchanged. And just see how Elizabeth receives that greeting in verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Little John leaps in Elizabeth's womb. And then Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and now she speaks. And this is actually Elizabeth's humble blessing, and it's given in three specific ways here to Mary. First of all, this blessing is giving confirmation of Mary's pregnancy. It's affirming what God said he was going to do in Mary's life. Verse 42, in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the child you will bear." And Elizabeth didn't mumble those words. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, and she spoke loudly. In other words, she was given the spirit of prophecy in these moments, and that gave her great assurance to speak these words loudly. Blessing means more than happy. Happy often describes a person's feelings, and it would be unreal to say that Mary felt happy at this time. Blessed isn't what a person feels. Blessed is what a person is. We are blessed when God's favor rests upon us. We are blessed when the Lord delights in us. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, declares this to be Mary's state. Mary is the most blessed among all the women of the area, rich and royal included. She's been given the honor of being the mother, the earthly mother of Jesus, the Messiah. Elizabeth goes on there, blessed is the child you will bear. Here's the first confirmation that what Gabriel said to Mary was absolutely true. Mary was pregnant. Mary and also the child she bears are the objects of God's delight. You and your unborn baby are blessed among all people. And the long journey through uncharted territory of 100 miles, through many dangers, toils, and snares, has all been worthwhile. Elizabeth's blessing, her first blessing, confirms what Mary had been told by the angel Gabriel. Then we find Elizabeth giving confirmation that this child was the Son of God. Verse 43, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Interesting words. Elizabeth declares that Mary is blessed, and now she considers herself blessed. Elizabeth thinks of all their extended family, the aunts and the cousins and the grandparents, some of them who may have been influential and prosperous, but out of all the family, Mary, the mother of our Lord, has chosen first to come to her. And it seems incredible to Elizabeth. We know why it's happened, because God gave that sign to Mary, but Elizabeth doesn't, and she's amazed. And since she's been filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth recognizes this child that Mary carries is the Messiah, is the Savior, is the Lord. Elizabeth calls this tiniest of unborn children, probably just a few days old at this stage, this tiniest of unborn children in Mary's womb, she refers to him as her Lord. This is the first confession of Jesus as Lord. Did you know that in the New Testament? An incredible thing. There's no greater moment in our lives, is there, than when we recognize Jesus as Lord. And we don't do that simply by looking at a babe in the womb or a babe in the manger. But we do it when we see our Lord on a cross. You remember the hymn writer? "And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin, then sings my soul, my Saviour, God to thee, how great thou art. Elizabeth is confirming in this moment that this child that Mary is carrying was the Son of God. The Holy Spirit revealed it to her. Elizabeth's humble blessing finishes by giving praise for Mary's faith. So we've had that confirmation of Mary's pregnancy, confirmation that this was the Son of God, and now she gives praise for Mary's faith. Verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. In other words, Mary, God is going to do all that he said he is going to do. In other words, this child is going to be, back to verse 31, great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And if Mary was sometimes shaking her head with wonder and asking herself if all that she had seen and heard was a dream, Elizabeth confirms to her that it's all going to happen. It's all going to be accomplished. And more than that, she praises her for believing it's true. Mary had prayed in verse 38, hadn't she? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. The devil was likely trying to tell her it was a dream. Her own mind would be saying it's too good to be true. And yet Mary was trusting in God, and Elizabeth saw her simple yet profound faith and gave thanks for it. Elizabeth rejoices in the faith of this young relative. And for Elizabeth, this would be all be counter to how her own husband Zechariah had responded. He questioned how it could happen to an old couple. Mary simply believed that God could do all things. Did you notice in those verses that Elizabeth never once thinks of herself and her situation? She looks at Mary and her situation and worships God. She sees what God is doing and she brings him praise. And so I guess my question this morning is, are you bringing your praise to God for what he is doing in your life and the lives of those around you? Are you giving him thanks for showing you the truths in his word? And the first thing that Elizabeth emphasized here was Mary's faith. Do you remember Ephesians 2 and 8? We're saved by grace alone through faith alone. Because Mary believed the word of God, she then experienced the power of God. Friends, have you got that level of faith? Do you take God at his word? Do you trust him? Do you believe that nothing is impossible with God? Well, from the worship of one woman to the worship of the other, verses 45 to 55 show us Mary's hymn of praise. This is often referred to as Mary's Magnificat, or quite simply, Mary's song. Magnificat is the Latin translation of the first few words which Mary speaks, and it literally means, my soul magnifies the Lord. Elizabeth has just encouraged her about what the Lord is doing in her life, and so Mary looks heavenwards, and she sings her hymn of praise to God. She thanks him for what he has done for her and for others. Isn't it great of people around us who point us to God, who help us to see what God is doing in our lives, what he is teaching us? Do you have someone like that in your life? Do you have someone in your life who points you to God, who points you to what God is doing in your life? Then this morning, thank God for them and keep up that relationship. Are you that person for somebody else? Are you the one that looks into someone else's life and points them to Jesus at every opportunity you can? Then listen, keep going, keep mentoring, keep discipling. This morning, do you need somebody like that in your life? Then get looking and ask an older saint to help you. Or ask me and I'll point you in the direction of somebody that can do that. Mary went to Elizabeth and Elizabeth points her to all that God is doing in her life. We need those kind of people. Mary's hymn of praise, of course, is very similar to the hymn of praise that Hannah offered in 1 Samuel 2 that we thought on a few Sunday evenings back. Mary was clearly a godly woman. She's gleaned phrases and concepts from the Old Testament and uses them in her worship. It's a song of joy. It's a song of hope. It's a song of anticipation. She considers what is going on in her life right then and gives thanks for God's work in her own life. She looks beyond. and gives thanks to God for what he's doing in the lives of others. And then she recognizes too what God has done for the nation, for the people of Israel. Not only is Mary pregnant herself, but our song here is pregnant with praise to God. She begins by giving thanks for what God has done for her personally. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Firstly, she praises him for what he's done in her life. She has been redeemed. She has been regarded. She has been rewarded. God has saved her. Mary wasn't sinless. The only sinless person who ever walked on this earth was the babe that was inside her, the Lord Jesus. Mary, like all of us, recognizes her sin. She recognizes her need for a Savior. She recognized her state. She recognized her position. She knew from her understanding of the Old Testament scriptures that she had fallen short of God's standards. She knew that she was a sinner. And she recognized that there was nothing she could do with that on her own. She needed someone to save her. She needed someone to redeem her. And so she cries out in verse 47 that she rejoices in God, her Savior. In God, her Savior. She recognized what God is doing by bringing this child into the world. And friends, we know, of course, that we need a Savior as well. We're all sinners, born into sin, so quick to commit sin. The Bible teaches us in Romans, doesn't it? Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 tells us that there's no one righteous, not even one. Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need not deal with our sin penalty on our own. Only Jesus can deal with it. God was sending a Savior into the world. Mary recognized God, her Savior. Listen this morning, do you recognize your Savior? Do you recognize your need? And do you recognize the one who has met that need? Not only has God saved her, but he's also regarded her. He's been mindful of her. He remembered Mary in her humble position as a servant of his and chose her for a magnificent job. He bestowed grace and favor upon her. He chose her to carry his son. He could have chosen anyone else, but he chose her. He was mindful of her. He showered his blessing on her. And of course, with this would come the favor she would find with all generations. From then on, all generations would call her blessed. Notice a difference there, by the way. Mary would not give blessing. She would be blessed. God had not only saved Mary, was mindful of her, but he also rewarded her. He performed a mighty miracle in her life because she believed in him and yielded to his will. Mary would have no problem singing that great hymn, "To God be the glory," in particular that line, "Great things he has done." Mary's found giving thanks to God for what he has done personally for her. Friends, this morning, are you quick to give thanks to God for what he has done in your life? Do you see what he's done in your life? Do you see the salvation that he has brought to you? Do you see the way he has blessed you in your life, by the folks he has brought into your life, the things he has done? He has selected you, he has saved you, he has sealed you for all eternity. He has given you life and breath and family and friends and talents and treasures beside. Give thanks to God. We find Mary giving thanks for what God has done in others generally as well, not just herself, but what he's done for others. Mary goes on to praise God for his mercy, which would extend to all generations, to all people who would fear him. Down through the generations, God would extend mercy. We've all received his mercy. We've all received his help. Mary names three specific groups there for us as well to whom God had been merciful. He had been merciful to the helpless, verse 51. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. To the humble, verse 52, he has lifted up the humble. Verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things. So God is merciful to the helpless. He's merciful to the humble. He's merciful to the hungry. Mary knew that God would pour his love on all who needed his help and all who wanted his help. She saw a topsy-turvy world that would be turned upside down by her Lord. The weak would dethrone the mighty. You can read that in the verses there. The humble would scatter the proud. The nobodies are exalted. The hungry are filled. The rich end up poor. And boy, does she want to praise God for sorting the world's order out. Jesus came in power to redeem people from sin, whoever and wherever they may be. He came not just for the rich and famous. He didn't come for the prominent and elite. He came to save the lowest of sinners. Jesus came as a humble babe, born in a manger, without even the simplest of comforts. As he walked this earth, he ministered to the weak and to the hopeless. Remember the verse that I said would be the centerpiece of Luke's gospel, Luke 19. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. All who come humbly, realizing their need, accepting his offer, can be saved. Friend, are you saved? Have you come to humbly accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers? Are you ready to give him thanks for all that he has done for you and for those around you? Lastly, we find Mary not only thinking of herself, not only thinking of what God has done for others in a general sense, but she comes now to give thanks for what God has done for Israel, for the people, for the children of God. Verse 54, he has remembered his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary recalls how God has remembered his promises and his people. God had promised through our fathers, says Mary, that he would send a Messiah, that he would save us and redeem us. Mary knew her scriptures. She knew the promises God made, and she knew that they would be kept. She remembered the promises made through the prophets. Isaiah 9 and 6, just to give us a wee Christmas prophecy in there, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God had promised years before that a Savior would come, and now it was coming to pass. The child within our womb was Jesus, the Savior of the world, and Mary rejoiced in the fact that God had remembered his promises, but he'd also remembered his people. Mary says here that God has remembered his servant Israel. And he's not simply talking of the country. We're referring to the people of God here. Years before, God had promised through Abraham, as he made a covenant with him, that he would bless him, that he would make him into a great nation, and that all peoples would be blessed through him. And this was all going to pass. God's plan for redemption was entering the penultimate act now. Jesus was coming to earth. He was going to be born as a babe in the manger. God had remembered these people. And he was coming to save them. The Word was becoming flesh and making his dwelling among us. And friends, we too can recall that God always remembers his promises and he always remembers his people. God knows who we are. He knows where we are. He knows what we're going through. He is faithful. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Remember his promises. Take comfort that he will always keep them. He remembers you and he reaches down to you and he meets you at the point of your need in each and every single circumstance of your life. Remember his promises to you. This morning, we've looked at the praise and worship of two women, one older, one younger. They both look from their situations and they both look up to God. They recognize that none of this is their own doing and that God is at work. He has remembered them. He has regarded them. He has rewarded them and he is redeeming them. They may have been anxious. They may have been fearful. They may have been perplexed. They may not have been sure about the future. They may not have been sure about what people were saying about them, but they believed God. And because they believed God, they faithfully walked in his ways and gave him all the praise. Friends, God never forgets us. He is with us always. He is working his plans and purposes out in our lives. Whatever is going on in your life today, believe in him, walk in his ways, and bring him your songs of praise this morning. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you that you are with us in all the circumstances of life. Lord, there are things that happen to us that we wonder why. We wonder what's going on. And yet, Lord, we know that nothing takes you by surprise, that you are there in the midst. And so, Lord, we pray that we would take the encouragement of Elizabeth and Mary, and that we would look up from our situations, and that we would look to you in all of the circumstances of life, the good times and in the hard and trying ones. Lord, that we would look to you and remember who you are. Remember what you are doing in our lives. And remember all that you will continue to do in our lives. We thank you that you never leave us, that you never forsake us. We thank you that you hold us fast by that strong right hand of yours. We thank you that you sing your songs of love over the top of us. We thank you that you are present with us at all times, that you watch over our coming and going both now and forevermore. Lord, we thank you for your work in our lives. Help us, even in those desperate situations, to look to you and to bring you our praise and our worship, not because of our situations, but because of you and who you are and what you mean to us in all that you are doing for us. We thank you for the encouragements of these words this morning. We pray that you would help us to ponder them as we go from this place today, and that we might apply them in our lives, that we might live for you always, and that we might always sing your praise. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.